Our scripture readings today, Jeremiah 1:8. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going.
Lord, I do thank you one more time that you would bless God as this sermon is out, that you touch the hearts and the minds of those who are listening. God, let it be a word that blesses them throughout the week, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I got a song for you today. Y'all ready? I'm going to sing this quick song and go into my sermon. My sermon this week is called God Pleasers. But this song, it kind of reminds me, it's something that we grew up with, and it reminds me of what we need to say to God, to be a pleaser, to be a God pleaser. And the song is called Yes, Lord, Yes. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Amen. Amen. We have to give God a yes. We have to give him a yes. I want to share a little story before I get into my sermon. It goes along with the sermon. But when we were kids, that was a song that we would sing all the time. And it's just saying, God, whatever you're telling me to do, I say yes to it. It may not be easy. It may not be what I thought I was going to do. But I'm going to say yes because I trust him and I obey. And so my sermon today is called God Pleases. And I want to just kind of encourage you to please God and not man, not people. People always have something to say. But we have to do what God tells us to do. Amen. So I might have to ask for a few more amens today. I thank you for them. I'm in an amen kind of mood today. But my mother used to share this story, and it always made me think. And she said, there's this man and his son, and they're riding on the horse. And the man has his son on the horse, and they're walking along. And people come by, and they say, oh, what a shame. That man is walking, and the little boy is riding. So then they switch places, and the man gets on the horse, and the little boy is walking. And the people say, they go past people, and they say, oh, what a shame. That little boy is walking, and the man is riding. Oh, gosh. You know, so then they both get off, you know, and they say, oh, or no, they both get on to the horse. No, they're both walking with the horse, you know, riding the horse. And people go by and they say, oh, what a shame. That poor horse has to carry those two people on his back. So they both get off and carry the horse. And people come by, oh, how silly. Those two are carrying a horse. So my point is, you can't please people. Amen. You cannot please people. So don't try. Try to please God. Be a God pleaser. So that's what I want to talk about today. Just that we need to, in our daily lives, we need to close out the voices of those who are naysayers, who are negative. When you know God has told you to do something, when you know he's called you into something, you have to say yes to God, like the song. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. With my whole heart, the song says, I'll agree. Even when I don't always understand what it is he's telling me to do. Even when there are so many negative voices telling you you can't do it, we have to say yes and be God pleasers. Pleasing God over pleasing man. Amen. So I found this first scripture kind of tells us how, first of all, to just kind of build that relationship with God so you know it's him talking to you when, you know, so you can say yes because you know you have that time in that relationship with him you've built with him so that you hear his voice and you know it. Oh, that's God telling me to do this. You're assured of it. So So this is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, and it's 1 Timothy 4, 12 through 16. And Paul is just giving him some advice on how to walk and be a godly man, or how to be just, you know, a godly person. It says, and to not listen to the words of others, but to only be attuned to God. So verse 12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which has given you thorough prophecy, which was given you through prophecy when the body of the elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. And he's just telling them kind of how to be a godly man. And I encourage you that this is just a way that you're spending your time with him. How can you say yes to God? How can you be a God pleaser if you're not spending time with him? If you're not in his word, if you're not waking up. And I know, I think I probably say this all the time, but it's such an important part of our Christian walk, is that we spend time in his presence, that we spend time telling him, God, I love you. God, I thank you. God, you're wonderful to me. I thank you that you cared for my children. I thank you that you allowed me to raise my family. I thank you, you know, being just grateful. I know a lot of times now, not in church, but maybe in our secular world, they're always, we need a gratitude journal, or we need a being grateful and thankful. But that's truly what we need to do as men and women of God. It's that we are thankful to God because he loves us and he cared for us, and that he brought us this far. He's brought us through so many things. And I have a ton of testimonies of how he has been my savior, how he has been my healer, how he has been my deliverer. And I have to get up and thank him for it every day, because if he brought me through that, he'll bring me through the next situation that comes. Because he's our God. He loves us. He's concerned with everything that concerns us. And so I want to encourage you today to just be a God pleaser. And by that, I just mean get to know him, but to do what he's telling you to do, and not listen to those voices from those who are not really concerned with everything that concerns you. Amen. They're concerned with what concerns them. So this, I had to think of an example to go along with this. Someone in the Bible who truly was a God pleaser. And it's David. David is who I want to talk about. David was a man who, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart, which means he really loved God. He sought after God. He would be out in the fields with his sheep, seeking God, seeking his presence, singing songs of love to God. Love songs to God. That's, to me, that is just like the most coolest thing. When you sing, when I hear love songs to God, you know, they just stay with me all day. And so that's kind of what David, that was David's character. He loved the Lord, and he loved to be in his presence. And so one day in the scripture that I want to talk about, he's getting ready to go to, his father is sending him out to visit his brothers who are on the battlefield preparing to fight Goliath. And so they send him from the fields with the sheep into the battlefield. And he gets there and he sees and hears Goliath talking trash to the Israel, soldiers. He's telling them what he's going to do to them, and that they are nothing, and that, you know, he just was really talking down to them. And David is like, what are you guys doing? Why are you not representing our God? He had this wonderful, youthful fire, to fight for God. And so, instead of saying, yeah, David, let's all go and fight for God and not allow them to talk trash about us, his brother said, go back to the field. Go back there. You can't do anything. You're just a kid. They started speaking negative to discourage him from doing what God had sent him there to do, which was to fight. There was a plan in place for him to fight Goliath. And so they started to just kind of trash him. But David was a God pleaser. He didn't listen to them. He knew God had a plan for his life. And that's where this scripture comes from. 1 Samuel 17:33-37. King Saul has heard that David is not happy hearing the Philistines, Goliath, talking about the Israelites. So Verse 33 says, Saul replied, you are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man. Again, someone trying to stop him from doing what God has called him to do. And he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from it, from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine. Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. He convinced Saul, hey, I can do this. He convinced him, I fought the lion, I fought the bear, God help me to do that. That's what we have to do when people speak negative into our spirits. When they speak and say, you can't. You know, how many have ever gotten a vision of something that you know God was telling you to do it, to go visit the sick or to go, whatever it is that he's telling you to do. Any vision or dream that he's given you, and you share it with the wrong person, and they say, oh, I don't think you can do that. Oh, I don't think that'll work. Oh, and they just kind of zap your dream, and you say, well, maybe it won't. That's what they were doing to David, and he was like, oh, no. I killed the lion. I killed the bear. I did that for God, and I know that he's calling me now to fight this Philistine. And so we have to, as God pleases, we have to ignore those negative words, those things that people say to try to discourage you. Sometimes it's not even on purpose. It's just that they can't see the vision. They just, you know, they're not really trying. Some are. No, some are. But some are not. They just don't see the vision that God has given you. So sometimes you have to hold that vision close to your heart and share it only with people who are supportive of you. It made me think as I was driving here, because I was kind of struggling on how to get this sermon out the way I wanted to, the way I was feeling it, but I wasn't sure. I'm like, God, how do you really want me to do this? I was driving here. It made me think of our elders and how supportive they are of me and every idea that I come up with. Pretty much every time I come in there, I'm like, hey, I got a thought. Let's try this. What do you guys think about this? So when I mentioned going out to the farmer's market, they were like, yeah, go ahead and do that. But they really weren't buying into it. They wanted to. They wanted to. I didn't know that. I was like, thank you, because they were so supportive. I agreed. I'm like, thank you. Let's try it. Once we went to the market, Patty said to me, she said, you know, I wasn't sure if this was going to work, you know, but she never said that to me. What she said to me was, yes, let's go. I'll come with you. Let's go and see. That's what we need. People who support us in our vision and in our dreams. People who allow us to please God and not to try and stop us from pleasing God and wanting us to buy into the negative that they're trying to feed us. So I want to encourage you today to be that person that speaks positive to others when they share their dream. Even if you can't see it, you encourage their heart. Encourage them. Well, try it and see what happens. Go ahead. You know, I'm supporting you. I'm right with you. Even if you can't quite see it, be that person that supports them to be a God pleaser and not that person that tries to drain them or bring them down from being a God pleaser. Amen? Amen. It also made me think of, I was watching Trevor Noah. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but he's a comedian from South Africa. And in South Africa, there are like traditions that they do, and there's, you should pay your dues to, achieve or things like that. Well, Trevor was very young and he'd gotten a one man show. And so he's a comedian. And so he was going to set up for this show. And there was an older guy there who was a comedian as well, but had never had a one man show. And he said to Trevor, well, you haven't paid your dues. Instead of encouraging him, like, oh my goodness, this is amazing for you. He was somewhat jealous, I would imagine, but he discouraged him or tried to discourage him from this amazing thing that happened. When God has something for you, it's for you. And it doesn't matter. God's timing. I know I think I talk about this often as well. But God's timing is not our timing. Sometimes things take a long time. Sometimes He gives it to you right away, you know, and you're 19 and hey, here you go. When someone else is 50 and it still hasn't happened. But that's because his timing and his plan for our lives are not the same. That's off topic a little bit, but still in this story, that's kind of what happened. Trevor, said to the guy who was trying to discourage him from taking his shot at his one man show, he said to him, well, no, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to do this one man show. This is my opportunity. What God has for me is for me. I thought I was really cool to tell this man, no, I don't hear you. And I've been telling people all weekend that sometimes you have to just say, I don't hear you. I don't hear you. I hear what God has for me. I see and I plan what God has for me. And so that's what Trevor had to do. He said to them, no. And he went on. It was a purpose in it. From that show, he was able to come to America, do the things that he did here. It's all a part of God's plan for his life. But he couldn't hear or listen to those negative things that were coming at him. Even though, sure, in their tradition, you have to take your turn or wait your turn. But when God has a plan for you, there is no turn. God says do it, you do it. You listen and you do, be a God pleaser. He could have stopped and missed what God had for him and not be pleasing God. God had a plan for him. He could have stopped. So, one more story. My mother, before we end, my mother, and I'm almost done because today I just wanted to get this thought in, but she used to tell us, people have no heaven or hell to put you in. Telling us, basically, do what God tells you to do. Said, don't listen to people. Don't listen to what people have to say. They can't, you know, don't let them judge you. That's why she would, we came from a very strict church. It was a very strict denomination when we were raised. And they wouldn't let us wear pants or makeup or some couldn't even curl their hair. And it was just a lot. But she didn't buy that. And she said, don't listen to what people say. What does God say about this? God's not saying anything about this, is how she would tell us. People have no heaven or hell to put you in. Don't try to please people. It never works. It really doesn't. It's just like the horse and the man and his son. You end up being ridiculous carrying the horse when you're trying to listen to people and not listen to God. Amen. You have to really listen to God and be a God pleaser. Be someone that seeks after and seeks to please him, seeks to do what it is he's calling you to do, seeks to walk in his plan. He has a plan for your life. And I tell you what, when you do get into that plan, it's so amazing. It is so amazing. I'm walking in that now. And it's funny, this just came to my head, but my sister and I were having a conversation. And she said, you really like to do a lot of things, don't you? Or something to that effect. Do you really like to do all of these things? And I thought about it and I said, I really do. I'm finally walking. I said, over this last year and a half, I have actually found my purpose and I actually feel joy most days, even when I'm overwhelmed with I'm doing 100 different things, but I actually do feel that joy because I'm seeking to please God. And I've never felt that joy like this before, but I thank him because as you get into that path that he has for you, that plan that he has for you, you begin to walk in that. You begin to walk in that joy. Tune out what all of those negative naysayers are saying. Tune them out. This scripture, my mother used to tell us all the time, Jeremiah 1:8 says, do not be afraid of them or do not be afraid of their faces. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So she used to tell me, especially when I had to first start preaching, which was a long time ago now about it. I think about it. I started way back in the 90s. I would be so scared. I didn't want to get up and I didn't want to. And sometimes the faces of the people in the audience would just be like stone. There would be no expression, nothing, not even a smile. And it would just be like, oh God, I'd be so nervous. But she would say, she'd go to Jeremiah and she'd say, don't look at their faces. Don't be concerned. Don't be moved by their faces. You'd have to do what God has called you to do. Get up there, say what he's told you to say and sit back down is what she would tell me. And sit down. And so I had to learn that. But I encourage you, when God's telling you to do something, it may be scary. You may be a little nervous, but don't be concerned with their faces. You'd be amazed. Always a story, but this one just popped in my head and I promise I will be done soon. But this one was a really good story. She and I were traveling because she'd ministered for gosh, almost 50 years. There's a lot of stories that I have with her. But she and I were traveling, and we were in, I want to say it was Louisiana. We were in this little small town. We were at this little small church, and a guy came in, and he sat in the back, and he really looked like he might want to kill her. We weren't sure. I was like, well, I don't know. I'll keep watching the door while she's preaching to make sure nothing happens. And so we were kind of nervous about it. And we made it through that day, and she blessed all the people, prayed, and everything she was there to do. The next day, it was like a two-day revival. So the next night, we came back, and he was there. He was there before anyone else was there. He was sitting in the car waiting for us to get there. And we were like, okay, should we get out the car? What should we do? We don't know. We get out the car. He comes up to her, and he says, my God, you blessed me so much. I can't believe how wonderful the sermon was. His face showed no example of that the night before. We were not sure what to expect. But the word of God blessed him through her. So you can't be concerned with how people look or what they say. You just have to know that you're pleasing God, is my point. Because he was blessed and became a member of that church and, a wonderful fellow, but we couldn't tell it just by looking at his face or his posture. We just weren't sure. She was like, oh God, I thought he wanted to kill me. And so but just to encourage you, don't be concerned with your face. Don't be concerned with what it looks like on the outside. You never know what one smile does. You never know what one word, encouraging word does to someone. So just be open to pleasing God and doing what it is he's called you to do, to walk and what he's called you to walk in. Last scripture. This is a wonderful way to do it. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10. And it says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So he's saying, while you're still here on this earth, whatever your hands find to do, do that. Don't listen to people. If he tells you to go out and stand on the corner and give out pamphlets inviting people to church, or to go out and hand out, to go volunteer at the shelters, or whatever it is he's telling you to do, whatever your hands find to do, do that. While there's still blood running warm in your veins, is what I can hear my mom saying that. Do that. And not be concerned with what people think. Sometimes he tells us to do things that seem a little odd. It don't seem quite right. Seems like, what? Really? And you'd be amazed how much it blesses you. Because he knows them. We don't. We don't know exactly what they're going through. But God does. And if you stay in tune to him, I encourage you to just do that. Be a God pleaser. Whatever your hands find to do. Whatever you can do here at the church that blesses the church. Whatever you can do in your community that blesses your community. Whatever it is, if there's somewhere you can volunteer and you're strong enough to do that. You'd be amazed how much you bless people. And when you bless people, you bless yourself. You really do. And God blesses you. So that's my last point today. But I just thank God. I thank God for all of you. And I do thank all of you for the encouragement that you are a very encouraging congregation. But today I just want you to think about that. Give it some God. Please God and not people. Not try to please people, but try to please God. Try to be a God pleaser. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. God, we give you praise today for being God. We thank you, Lord, that your word will touch the hearts of your people, God. Lord, that they will be encouraged to step out and be God pleasers. They'll be encouraged to step out, God, and take a chance and do something that they hear you guiding them to do. And we do thank you for it. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory because you're a wonderful God. We thank you that you are concerned, God, with everything that concerns us. And Lord, we give you, God, all of the praise, the honor, and the glory for your healing virtues. We thank you that you are the healer. And we're asking, God, one time again, that you would allow your healing virtue, God, to touch those who are in need of a special healing, God. That you would allow your healing virtue from the top of their head to the very soles of their feet, God, to make a change in their body. Change, God. And each organ, God, that you would be their blessing and healing and delivering, and we thank you for it. And for those who are suffering, God, from addiction and from mental health issues, you would be the God that regulates, and we thank you for it. We give you the praise, honor, and glory. And as always, Lord, we do pray for our children, that you would keep them safe, God, as they go to school, God, as they're out in the community, that you would keep them safe, God. And all of those who were affected this week by violence, there were shootings and so forth going on here in our city, we ask that you bless those families, God, that you would mend and heal and help, God, help them, God, to come through and recover from those violent crimes this week. And we thank you for it. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.